from the theme park capital of the world, bringing you the latest in theme park and pop culture news. Welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast. My name is Clint.
I'm Barry, and we are a little late this week because I've just been so busy stuck in Toy Story Land for the last 4 days. So
you poor thing.
Yes.
No, you did some excelente coverage of Toy Story Land, and you've experienced it in the morning, you've experienced it midday, and you've experienced it at night. So that's one of the things we're going to be talking about on this episode, and we'll also get into some of the announcements that were tied to the grand opening of Toy Story Land, including Lightning McQueen's Racing Academy coming to Hollywood Studios next year. And some new details were released about Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. And then we'll get into Universal news. They announced a new restaurant coming to Aventura Hotel.
And then Halloween Horror Nights news.
Of course.
Yeah, so it's shocking that Universal announced stuff while another Disney media event was going on. Shocked, I tell you, shocked.
Yeah. The tie-in that they did, the little jabs that they did, was pretty hilarious too. So, all right, Toy Story Land. Like I said, you were there for
Thursday and Friday for some of you who know, I do have a real job that I get paid for. Yeah. And I was lucky enough to be there for the media event, and then was there for opening day, literally like at. Got there at 7:10 a.m. And then was also there last night. So I've experienced the land morning, midday, and at night. And I gotta say, nighttime is the best time for Toy Story Land. I feel like the Imagineers did a great job with the lighting package for the land, and it looks its best at night. For those of you who've seen, we have a video of Toy Story Land at night, and I will say this: I mean, it during the day, if it's hot, there's no shade. There's really no shade in the entire land.
Yeah, I think that seems to be the biggest complaint right now. Is there's literally no shade in the land. The queue lines, nothing.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest complaint is no shade, and then just the fact that Woody's Lunchbox, which is the one quick service location in the whole land, basically has two registers. Opening day, there were like 2 hour waits to get food from there. And then the seating area is not that big at all. And so
I saw it from your live streams because I really couldn't... The outside area from Woody's Lunchbox, you were right. There's only like I think you said 4 or 5 tables.
Yeah, I think it's about 8, maybe around that. I mean, and then you know they have the tables do have umbrellas, but you know they had extra cast members out there to make sure you had to have food to sit at one of those tables. So it's interesting. In that aspect, Woody's Lunchbox does have mobile order. So if you want food from there, I would recommend do mobile order.
Yeah.
We'll see how the lines stay. It's from what I've seen, the lines have been busy with that place, throughout the day. I will say this, you know, one of the problems Disney's Hollywood Studios has always had is the lack of good quick service food.
Yeah.
And Woody's Lunchbox out of the gate is already the best quick service restaurant.
Yeah, you mentioned now that you mentioned that, and I put some quick thought into it. Hollywood Studios has several good sit down restaurants,
mm-hmm.
And I've never really thought about their quick service selection being. I mean.
ABC Commissary has been notorious for years for being not that great. They've changed up the menu from what I've heard, and it's gotten a little bit better, but it's still sort of lacking. I mean, Backlot Express is basically the chicken tender burger place. They did Pizza Rizzo, you know, that was used to be Pizza Planet. They did an amazing job retheming the place, but then came back with the same not very good pizza that was there before.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then the markets over on Sunset Boulevard, those are hit or miss. Some of the stuff there is good. Some of it's really not that great. You know, so this is the first, you know, sort of quick service location that, you know, based on the stuff I've tried and then based on reviews I've seen from other people who've tried the other things that I didn't try.
Yeah.
Everything got rated really well. I tried the three cheese, the grilled cheese with three cheeses with the tomato basil soup. That was excellent.
That looks really good. I saw several pictures of that.
The Monte Cristo sandwich they've come up with was really good. And then the reviews for the other things like the tachos and the beef brisket sandwich have all been positive. And I've also tried both tarts, and I found both of the dessert tarts were really good too. So,
What flavors do those come in?
One's I guess hazelnut, guys. So technically Nutella, and I think it's like Nutella topped with like I believe it's a maple glaze with candied bacon.
Yeah,
and then the other one is a raspberry tart, I believe.
I think so. I couldn't remember what they were exactly.
And that one's got candied bacon on it too. So
bacon.
Yeah, bacon.
Bacon makes everything better.
Yeah, bacon does make everything better. So I mean, all the food that I've tried and the food some of the other people who I trust who've tried it out, all have given it the thumbs up. So if you want to eat there, I would recommend doing the mobile order. There seems to be not a lot of wait to do the mobile order there. We'll see if that changes once more people figure out that's the way to go when it comes to that place.
Yeah.
But yeah, the size of Woody's Lunchbox and then the lack of shade are the two biggest issues with the land. I loved Slinky Dog Dash. Loved it. It was fun. Albeit, I didn't have to wait 2 to 3 hours for it. But it's a fun ride. I think it's right up there with Seven Dwarfs Mine Train as far as fun. And I recommend riding it at night. That's the best time to ride it because it's got an amazing lighting package for nighttime.
It looks really cool at night. I think there were some people saying it looks better than Pandora at night.
No, I mean all of Toy Story Land looks way better at night due to the lighting that they put in there. Because under the harsh glare of the sun, I mean everything's supposed to be a toy or look like a toy in that land. And under the harsh glare of the sun, it has a cheap look to it.
Sure.
To be perfectly honest, because it's plasticky, it's toys.
Yep.
But when you have at night, when you have that theatrical lighting, which is one of the really cool things, all those Tinker Toy lighting rigs are theatrical style lighting that's, you know, specifically pointed at different things in the land, and it really gives it an amazing look. And then the Christmas lights that are the strung up throughout the land. It did such a neat job with that, and it looks so cool at night. But back to Slinky Dog. I mean, it's got such a cool lighting package at night. It's a fun little family coaster. If you want to get any sort of thrills, you have to sit in the back seat. And I don't mean like back half of the train. I'm talking about you have to sit in the back seat of the coaster to get any sort of like a little bit of airtime pops in a couple of spots.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a family ride. It's meant for families to ride. It's fun. The nighttime lighting package is amazing. I had no clue about there's tracer lights along the entire track.
I didn't notice those either until I think it was one of the live streams you did on the Facebook page. I was like, is there actually lights on the track that like follow the train?
Yeah, there's lights that follow the train, and they change colors, and there's different color traces that go through each train, so it changes to a different color each time. And sometimes when there's a train not running, certain parts will, the lights will flash back and forth. So they did a great job with that. And then the second launch looks so cool at night because it lights up as Slinky Dog launches. And
here we go.
Yeah, it's a fun ride. And he talks through different parts of the ride. And then the finale is you end up with a musical finale with Wheezy singing "You Got a Friend in Me." So they have a giant Wheezy animatronic up there as you're going through the finale. So they did a cute job with it. It's a fun ride. Like I said, if you got a fast pass for it, if it's not a extra magic hours night, go to this land at the end of the night because it really clears out in the evening. And I'm sure a lot of that has to do with primarily being for kids. And also you've got the way they're running it, especially right now, you've got a Fantasmic, then you got the Star Wars fireworks, then you got another Fantasmic. So that pulls a lot of people away.
Sure.
And we were back there during the Star Wars fireworks. And I mean, the standby lines were down next to nothing. Don't look at the posted wait times.
Yeah.
Look at how many people are in the queue. Because the Slinky Dog queue wasn't even full, and they had a 200-minute posted wait time, and that's false.
Yeah, I saw people were mentioning that they might be like inflating the wait times to kind of deter people.
Yeah, I mean, that's been something that's been talked about the last few years of whether the wait times at the end of the night in the parks are being inflated. So yeah. People decide, oh, I don't want to wait in line. And I've definitely tested that theory, and I've gone into lines that said it was 30 minutes and then it was walk on. Whether that's just the cast members not properly doing the little swipe card thing to change it, but it could be a matter of just them not being able to properly figure out the wait times yet. But look how many people are in the queue. If it's half full, allegedly for Slinky Dog, that's like 30-45 minute wait. So go at the end of the night if you don't have a fast pass. It's much more fun at night. And then, of course, the other new attraction is the Alien Swirling Saucers, which is, for those of you who've been to Disney's California Adventure, is just like Mater's Junkyard Jamboree.
It's identical, right? As far as
it's the same ride system, except this time it's covered. It's themed to the three-eyed green aliens. And the theming is really reminiscent of Buzz Lightyear Space Rangers. It's got that same sort of it seems like it's another playset from it's basically, I guess that is the theme. It's a playset from the Buzz Lightyear toy line.
Yeah. I just noticed too the other day when I was scrolling through Twitter, the entrance has a very with the two armored guards, a Pizza Planet.
Yeah, there's definitely and that's why I can't remember if this is tied into Buzz Lightyear's toy line or if it's like a Pizza Planet toy.
Yeah.
Because there's windows that are shaped like pizza slices.
Yeah.
Inside,
I saw that. Yeah,
inside the queue, next to the actual ride, and there's two. The ride has two ride platforms, so it pumps for a flat ride. It pumps through a lot of people, and there's much like Mater's Junkyard Jamboree. There's multiple songs that play, different songs play during each time. So it's like different versions of "You Got a Friend in Me." Even a version of Jessie's "When She Loved Me," except in like a little, in the little spacey mix type version.
Oh, I haven't heard that one. It seems like every video I watched on YouTube or Twitter or wherever, it was the "You Got a Friend in Me."
Yeah. And at nighttime, they have special lighting packages going off during each ones that really add. Once again, this is another ride that's better at night because you got all these because you really get to see the lights going off, and each song has its own specific light package. And the funny thing is, You Got It, Friend in Me has the weakest light package out of all of them.
Oh, really?
The lights don't really do much during that one, whereas the other songs, the lights really move around. They have computerized moving lights in the attraction, so it does a lot more in some of the other songs. So, like I said, it's a fun ride. It's probably out of the two rides, it seems like, you know, it's another one I wouldn't wait more than a half an hour for. I mean, because in the end, it is a flat ride. Like I said, I definitely recommend if you don't have fast passes for either one of the new attractions, go at the end of the night, as long as it's not an extra Magic Hour night.
Which is probably what I'm going to do with the kids when we go, when Cheryl's main gate's back up and running.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy. I've yet to, you know, I've tried at different points. I've yet to be able to get a fast pass for either one of those.
Mm-hmm.
You have no problem getting a fast pass for Toy Story Mania, because, of course, now they are all on one tier. The Toy Story Land rides are all on the same tier, so you only get to pick one.
Yeah.
And that's all you get. So, and then Toy Story Mania, they moved the line into the Toy Story Land, and it's themed, the outdoor part is themed like it's part of the Midway Games playset, and, there is a bunch of outdoor queue in, you know, definitely opening day, it did back up into the outdoor queue, but Mr. Potato Head is back indoors in the inside part of the queue. You know, so I almost wish they had put him outside like he is at California Adventure. It would maybe would have given a little bit more to the land. But I also understand having him indoors, it helped keeps the standby line a little bit more entertained.
Yeah. So and apparently I saw he lost his nose on opening day.
Yeah, so I guess somebody posted that he lost his nose on opening day. So and, you know, Toy Story Mania, nothing has changed. It's still the same exact ride. You know, I was hoping maybe they would update, you know, these updates we've heard about for years that they could do to Toy Story Mania that they've never done. So
there was a lot of people discussing on Twitter what's going to become of Buzz Lightyear, Space Ranger spin at Magic Kingdom now that Toy Story Land's opened.
It's not going anywhere because that would require them to spend money.
Yeah.
There's your answer to that question. If people need to understand, Disney has budgets and they're not going to just get rid of something. No different that the Little Mermaid show is still going in Hollywood Studios like it has for God knows how many years
since the parks opened, just about.
Yeah. And it hasn't closed since they opened the Little Mermaid ride. And, you know, we are hoping maybe they'll finally replace it with something else. But
yeah,
you know, I don't see Buzz Lightyear as popular as Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger spin is. It's not going anywhere.
Yeah. And it's a pretty high capacity ride too.
Yeah. It's a pretty high capacity ride and they've got other ideas and thoughts about the future of Tomorrowland
that we may
see over the next 4 to 5 years, you know.
Hey, Tomorrowland could just be Tron and I'd be happy.
Yes, we know.
So final thoughts on Toy Story Land from your perspective. Was it as good as people were saying it's going to be? You know, all the people were talking on Twitter, oh, it's horrible, oh, it's great.
I liked it. It was fun. But like I said, I didn't really have to wait in line for anything.
Yeah.
So except for, I think last night we waited like 20 minutes for Alien Swirling Saucers, and the only reason we had to wait was one side was down last night, and that's the only reason it even had a line. So, you know, I think, like I said, your best time to go there is at night. If you don't have fast passes, go at the end of the night. I realize that means possibly skipping Fantasmic or the fireworks, but you got to do what you got to do if you want to ride with waiting in minimal lines. And yeah. I don't recommend being in that land in the middle of the day during the hottest part of the day, because there is no place for shade.
You'll just bake.
You are just going to bake. You are better off going to other attractions in the park that are inside or shaded.
Yeah.
During the hottest part of the day. I think due to the fact that it is primarily a kid, for most people, a kiddy type land, it will be busiest morning into the early evening, and then late evening is when it's going to be the least busiest.
Yeah.
And that's the best time to go, because the best time to go to that land is after dark, because I think it's when it's the most fun and it looks its best.
So we have all sorts of stuff all over the place. We have your live streams up on the Facebook page, which people can still watch.
And then on YouTube, we have three different videos right now. We have a 4K POV of Alien Swirling Saucers. We have a 4K POV of Slinky Dog Dash. And right now we have a Toy Story at Night video that's also up on our YouTube channel. We have opening day footage. We're just having a little technical difficulties right now, and hopefully within the next week we'll get the opening day video up where you can see all the crowds from opening day of Toy Story Land.
Which we should mention real quick. Everybody was wondering if there was going to be any celebrities. Tim Allen did show up for the dedication ceremony, so he was there. There were a lot of people that were hoping Tom Hanks was going to be there, but... he was not. Tim Allen was there for the dedication ceremony, and it was a cute, cheesy little ceremony that they did with the batteries and everything.
This is what they do. They do little live stream ceremonies now instead of like the day of. There was no actual, you know, thing. They literally opened. That was the other thing. They literally just opened the park 2 hours before the posted time.
Yeah,
just to deal. To try to spread the crowds out. And I got there at, 10 after 7?
Yeah.
And Slinky Dog was already a posted 300-minute wait time.
Yeah, which, by the way, that tweet, we're still getting retweets on the Thrill Geek account with that picture.
Oh, I know, and it's crazy, because then eventually, you know, by the time I left the land, I guess at some point they had cut the Slinky Dog line and then started creating a line using the same line to get into the land.
Yeah.
And I think they've moved. I think they've got like a queue set up in the backstage area there that they've been using when the Slinky Dog line has gotten down to the entrance of the land, and it sort of wraps around to one of the backstage gates. And I think back there they have additional queue lines for when it's gotten that long. So. Yeah, I expect on some busy days they still may have to. They're definitely keeping track of how many people are going in and out of the land.
Yeah,
and you may still end up on some of the busier days. They may end up having to, you know, have the land might hit capacity. We'll see. Especially with obviously this being 4th of July week. So
yeah. So. Speaking of the opening ceremony event, shortly after that, all the media kind of gathered in a room, and they did a few more announcements, and we'll talk about those really quick. The first one being a new Lightning McQueen Cars show coming to Hollywood Studios next year called Lightning McQueen's Racing Academy. The new show will be taking place in the... fill me in here.
In the Sunset Showcase Theater, which is next to Rock and Roller Coaster. I think it was built in 2015 because they tore down the old, Backlot Theater? Was that what it was called? The theater that was over near Muppets that, you know, years ago had like the Hunchback show was there. There's been other stuff there over the years. But it was mostly used for groups and stuff, and so they created the Sunset Showcase Theater as a multi-use theater facility, and it's been hosted like the Club Villain Party and then private parties, but now they're going to put a show in there, and which is interesting because they're putting a Cars show in there.
Isn't this where they put the Darth Maul for Star Wars weekends, the shopping place?
Uh No,
that was
the area where they put it, because that area used to be just like a parking lot there, and yeah, that's where they put the giant pop up tent.
Okay.
But now it's a full blown multi use theater facility, which they're now putting a show in, and I'm going to be interested what this is going to be, because I'm imagining a giant LED screen.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to, because they really didn't say much other than you're going to be coming face to face with Lightning McQueen in the show. It'll feature Cruz Ramirez, Mater.
I mean, I've been inside that space, and I'm not quite sure how you have full size cars
in there.
In there, whether I imagine they would be some sort of like puppeted cars or something. They're not going to move around. So I'm not quite sure how. I just imagine with the calling it first of its kind show where guests will come face to face with racing legend Lightning McQueen, and he will showcase what he's learned over the years with you. So, I mean, sounds to me like a clip show, but
yeah, it could be just kind of a, you know, like one of those things that Disney does to where it's not an e-ticket, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is definitely probably tailored to kids. And look, that park is going to need every bit of capacity that it can get.
With that one land opening up next year.
Yeah, with that one land opening up.
The war about stars.
Yeah, so, I mean, this park is going to need every bit of extra capacity it can get.
Sure.
And hopefully this is the beginning of a bunch of new shows coming to the park, because Beauty and the Beast needs to go, too. I mean, talking Little Mermaid early. Yeah, I mean, there's been a rumor for years about Beauty and the Beast going away.
When this Lightning McQueen show was announced, that was kind of the initial talk, that this was going to replace Beauty and the Beast. But I was like, nah, I don't see a car show replacing Beauty and the Beast.
And if anything, with the extended hours that this park is going to have from now on, especially once Star Wars Lands open,
yeah,
you can run two different shows in Theater of the Stars. You know what I mean? There was last summer they did the Pixar live show.
Oh, the concert thing?
Yeah, with the concert thing. So, I mean, I think you could add another show in there that runs in the evenings. But, I mean, we'll wait and see. Like I said, it's the park needs additional stuff. Stuff that adds capacity to the park. And in this case, a show that will get you out of the heat and into air conditioning.
Yeah, that's always a plus in Florida.
Yeah, because you... we'll see what it is. But I have a feeling it'll be another thing that gives... Something that gives little kids another show for little kids. So.
Sure, and, you know, me having two boys, I'm sure they both love cars, and you know, cars is still everybody was like, Cars Land's coming, because remember, Hollywood Studios was rumored to get Cars Land forever. It was one of those rumors that just wouldn't die, but we're getting this show instead, so we'll see what it is.
Yeah, we've had that discussion. As much as I love Cars Land, Cars Land would not work in Florida.
Yeah, I can attest to that.
Too many storms. It storms way too much.
Yeah.
For Cars Land to work as Cars Land is now in Florida.
Speaking of more attractions for Hollywood Studios, we also got a few tidbits of information about Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, which, of course, unfortunately to many people, is replacing the Great Movie Ride, for those of you that don't know. And it will also be opening up next year, probably after this Lightning McQueen show, I would imagine.
Yeah, the Lightning McQueen show is supposed to be early 2019. They still haven't given a specific time frame for Mickey and Minnie, but the rumor for a while now has been to get it open by summer 2019.
I would say about this time next year.
Yeah, around this time next year. you know, they released a new concept photo, and those people who were at the event also got to see a picture of a model of the train that will be the front of the ride vehicle that you will be on for this ride. And the concept art, I mean, you know, when they first announced this, they talked about the projection mapping and stuff like that. And this concept art gives an idea that at least based on this concept art, that, you know, there might be some more like full blown sets as part of this attraction.
Yeah, when it was originally announced, I was kind of confused with their description of the attraction. You know, they were, I can't remember exactly what the description was, but it was a lot of projection mapping, I think they mentioned in the original announcement.
Yeah, they talked about projection mapping, which I expect it will be in there in this attraction. You know, this concept art gives you a little bit more of an idea. You know, you're on a train. Goofy is driving the train. You're basically being put in the middle of one of these new Mickey Mouse cartoon shorts. And so, you know, they tease a little bit more to give you a little bit more idea of what, not much.
Yeah, they kind of
pretty much this and the Lightning McQueen thing were the only new things revealed at this media event. And from what I was told by someone in the know, there was supposed to be another announcement that was going to happen at that event, and shock, surprise, like Disney does a lot of times, they apparently nixed it at the last minute.
Yeah, because I was ready for something Galaxy's Edge related, whether it was
there was nothing new. The only new Galaxy's Edge thing was they updated the model at which we posted on Twitter at One Man's Dream in Hollywood Studios. They added a little bit more to the Galaxy's Edge model there.
Yeah.
But other than that, you know, other than the Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, a little bit more information there, and Lightning McQueen, that was it. That was all that was revealed at that media event. So
I was at the keyboard ready to go for some kind of Star Wars announcement or something, maybe on the new, maybe more information on the rides or something, but we didn't get anything Galaxy's Edge, but we got a new Lightning McQueen show and a few more tidbits of information about Runaway, excuse me, Runaway, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. I have
to
say
that.
Yeah,
and the one thing we did forget to mention about Toy Story Land, at least for right now, I have a feeling they're gonna either pull some trees in there on a truck or something. You can look straight into the construction of Star Wars Land at the moment.
Yeah, everybody's like, I'm riding Slinky Dog Dash just for a view of Galaxy's Edge.
You get a really good view on Slinky Dog Dash, and then you get a pretty good view just standing across from the restrooms, looking over the fence there. And I'll be able to see how much longer we get that, at least that view from down on the ground, before they throw in some more trees or maybe some shrubs that they can push in the way to block the view.
Yeah, they actually they did that with the Streets of America, what was left of that area.
Yeah.
That was our only view of Galaxy's Edge, and they put a bunch of shrubs up there to block everybody's view. So let's see how long this Toy Story Land view of Galaxy's Edge lasts. But
I think that's it for Disney.
Yeah, we got the concept artwork for Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway up on the website, so you can go there and check that out if you haven't seen that yet. So we're going to dive into some Universal Orlando Resort stuff here.
Food.
Yeah, we'll talk about
the
some
new hotel.
Yeah, they announced a new, I guess you could call it quick service. They called it the quote modern food hall for the Aventura Hotel.
You mean food court?
Yeah, the food court for.
I will say, you know, we have the article up on the website, and based on what they release, I mean, Cabana Bay has a food court. This looks to be a little bit more upscale than Cabana Bay's offerings. You know, you're going to have a roast station, which you know is going to have like lamb, prime rib, chickens, salmon, paella, You know, so it looks like it's, you know, you're going to be able to make your own sort of meal. You have a pizza station, shock, surprise. and then a wok station, which
yeah, that one seemed really cool to me, the wok station.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to get your choose, you know, either stir fry or ramen style, and you know, which is a lot of this sounds like stuff we see a lot today with what we don't call fast food, but quick casual.
Yeah.
Where they make your food for you right there. You know, the way you want it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and the wok station will also have sushi and things like that, like crab rolls and dumplings and things like that. So that sounds really yummy. And then last but not least, of course, it's going to have a burger station where you'll be able to kind of create your own burger. They're going to have
you'll have a choice, a beef, turkey, or veggie burger. So
yep, then all sorts of cheeses and toppings. We have all the details up on ThrillGeek.com. Sounds like a really fun place to grab something quick to eat at Aventura. So you got this, and then you got the rooftop bar, which I'm pretty excited about for the views up there.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what it's going to be like from up there. And Aventura will be opening next month.
Yeah,
we will know soon.
They're getting down to the wire. I noticed they started taking off the protective plastic for the outside of the resort where all the glass is. Looks like they're getting down to the wire with that resort. So I'm pretty excited to check it out.
As we move on to, I guess this was sort of a surprise as far as them announcing it, but just like the Aventura food announcement, sort of time to go on the same time Disney was doing their Toy Story Land media event, but the other two scare zones were announced.
Yeah, it was really interesting. Like I said, some of the people had fun making a jab at Disney. You know, while we're on the subject of toys, they announced that a certain Universal toy is making a return to Halloween Horror Nights. Chucky will be coming back to Halloween Horror Nights this year in his own scare zone called Revenge of Chucky. And I think the other announcement was kind of a surprise. Killer Clowns from Outer Space will be also getting its own scare zone. Ever since this 80s theme for Halloween Horror Nights has been taking shape, there were a lot of people on social media joking about bringing Killer Clowns from Outer Space to Halloween Horror Nights. And it's happening. It's coming to life.
That, to me, that really is pretty amazing that they're doing a scare zone based on Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Those of you in the know Universal Creative Entertainment head Michael Aiello, who started in Halloween Horror Nights years ago, and eventually moved up from writing Bill and Ted to, you know, being in charge of Halloween Horror Nights. This is something he has tried to get for a decade now of getting Killer Clowns at Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a cult classic. It's, you know, there's a lot of people who don't know about this movie. You know, I remember watching it when I was younger, and that was because it used to be on, when I was younger, it was on HBO a lot.
Yeah,
and it was one of those movies that was on HBO a lot, and it was also the first time I was like sort of creeped out by clowns. But I mean, the one thing with this movie, Killer Clowns, is it's horror, it's sci-fi, and it's also sort of funny.
Yeah, I watched it. I'm on the same page as you. The last time I watched it, when I was probably 10, 12 years old. And I'm going to have to watch it again because I don't remember a whole lot from it. All I remember, it gave me a slight creepiness of clowns, but it's one of those quote horror films that's so over the top ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, it's over the top. It definitely had some of the stuff was sort of creepy and gross. But I'm kudos to them for getting this and putting something in that, you know, one that like hardcore horror fans know of that maybe not the mainstream people know of, but it's Killer Clowns. It sort of explains itself.
Yeah. From outer space.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is this scare zone is going, along the water there, near Transformers, down to the corner there where New York Street is. And
was that confirmed?
That has been confirmed by I forgot who confirmed it online, but someone did confirm that that's where it's going, because I guess due to the fact of Fast and the Furious exit being where it is, that area is no longer viable as a scare zone.
Oh, like San Francisco?
Yeah, San Francisco is no longer will be able to be used.
Which I'm kind of glad, because it, you know, it was so hard to squeeze a scare zone in there.
And this area, that area along the water there, has been used in the past for chainsaw gangs.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's been used as a sort of scare zone in the past.
Going back to Aiello's tweet real quick, I have it right here. He said, "Truly, never thought I'd see the day. These characters are ones I have talked for over a decade about. If we ever found the path, had the chance, got the approval, we would. We did. We took it. We got it. Hashtag HHN28 Killer Clowns."
Yeah, so I mean, it's something that the Halloween Horror Nights people have wanted to do for a long time, and it goes in with the '80s theme, much like Chucky does. The first Child's Play movie was released in 1988. And so, you know, we're getting a Revenge of Chucky scare zone, which I don't know if it's been, it's pretty much that's going to go on Hollywood Boulevard, and that's pretty much the only place left. And it falls in with the leaked map, that's been online for a while now for Halloween Horror Nights 28. That scare zone obviously involves stuff that can't be that has to be brought out every night. They can't really leave sets up, much like where the Killer Clowns is going. It's going to be stuff that's, they can put some sets along the sidewalks, I guess, but that's probably one that's, they're going to have to bring out stuff at night too for that.
Yeah, the when I read the blog post on the Halloween Horror Nights website, the Chucky scare zone, you know, I just didn't want another scare zone of a bunch of Chuckies running around, which they've done before. But this one really intrigued me, because it sounds like Chucky is going to be controlling like demented, twisted toys and stuff.
Yeah, you're supposed to be like entering a toy fair, and the toys have turned bad, you know, so they'll be like murderous monkeys. Apparently a board game turned deadly. And then of course, you know, guests will come face to face with Chucky. So I like that idea that it's not just going to be about him, that he's sort of like, you know, taking toys from your past and twisted them. So.
I'd like to see him in his good guy, like a big good guy doll box. You know, if they could find somebody like a voice actor that sounds like Chucky, kind of like, you know, commanding the toys and stuff and kind of poking fun at, because, you know, Chucky's a prankster.
It would definitely be interesting if they could use some type of doll or something that's like you said, on a box or like part of a set.
Yeah.
And he interacts
with, like he's interacting with,
you know, with the guests and with also the scare actors.
Yeah, I think that'd be really cool. I think if they did something like that, it would be a really cool scare zone. Have him
instead of like a scare actor in a mask.
Yeah. And I said, I've never really liked the scare actors in Chucky masks. It just,
yeah,
they don't look
weird.
Yeah, it looks really weird. So I'm hoping they do something to where it looks better than what they've done with Chucky in the past in scare zones. Just somebody in a Chucky mask and overalls running around scaring people. But once I read the description, it sounds like they've got a pretty cool idea. Now, how they execute it, I don't know. So we'll see. But that got me a little excited about it once I read into the description a little bit more.
So now we've had all five scare zones revealed.
And we still got six houses to go.
We'll have to reveal. And whether we pretty much think there isn't going to be another show or whether there'll be some other type of entertainment, that has not been revealed either.
Yeah, so. They, for those of you that saw today on Twitter, they started some kind of postcard thing. I lost track of how many they posted.
I want to say
it was at least half a dozen, six, eight of them.
It was more than that.
Was it?
Yeah, it was more than that.
It ended up
being about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
Oh wow, it was more.
14 postcards. Throughout the day, up until like, you know, we're taping this at 10:47 right now, and the last one was posted about 55 minutes ago. And what's funny is, like, not to sound superior, but I sort of had to laugh with some people, like, being confused. It's like, all I had to do was look at the postcard, and I knew exactly what they were doing. It's, you know, this was all a way to do some backstory for the Dead Exposure house.
Yeah.
Because it's a couple on honeymoon in Paris. The postcards are dated 1982. And the interesting things is the first one starts around the 3rd of October of 1982. And if this truly is the final one, which I think you think it is, the last postcard is dated October 31st, 1982.
Oh yeah, I'm looking at them right now too.
And it's basically, it's sort of a backstory of as things go wrong in Paris, as the virus breaks out.
And of course, they use Cary, Ohio.
Yeah, apparently they're from Cary, Ohio, and this gives you an idea that the at least in this case, in this storyline, yes, the virus breaks out in Paris, but apparently it's maybe breaking out all over the world.
Yeah.
So it's you know, this is the little backstory things is something they've been doing the last few years online, and it's one thing I like that they do, that, you know, for the hardcore fans, it gives you an idea of the backstory for some of the original houses. Because this is what they do when they create these original houses. They create stories and they create backstories.
Yeah.
For a lot of the characters in the house. Usually, especially in some cases, they create backstories for specific characters in the house. So it's always neat when they sort of do stuff like this. It gives you a greater idea of the story for this house. So
yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if there's some sort of Easter egg that may be in the house from all these postcards.
Yeah. So. But they were teasing that today. I don't think it's leading to any sort of announcement. I mean, whether we get an announcement this week, we still got six houses to go, and we're what, 75 days away, 70 something like that.
Yeah, I would be shocked if we got an announcement this week, considering it's a holiday week and
yeah,
a lot of people are off.
Yeah, so
I think we might go a couple weeks here without an announcement. I could be wrong, and because especially at least the Universal Orlando wise, their next thing is that nighttime show is going to be,
yeah,
probably hopefully soon here, since they're doing in the middle of still doing overnight rehearsals.
But yeah, the Chucky and Killer Clowns from Outer Space round out the scare zones. They join Vamp 85, New Year's Eve, Twisted Tradition, and The Harvest, and those are your scare zones for Halloween Horror Nights 28. So
on paper this year, you know, these scare zones all look pretty good on paper.
Yeah.
I mean, usually there's always one when you look at the announcements, there's always one where you're like,
yeah.
But so far this year with all the scare zones announced, the houses that have been announced so far, this is looking pretty good so far, and we've still got six more houses to go.
I know. I mean,
I think it's definitely the 80s theme has a lot of us hyped up.
Yeah.
This year, cause you know, I really like the idea that there are sort of, you know, what if, maybe if going with sort of a theme for the year, since you know, icons seem to be only something that we're going to get every 5 years now from now on.
Yeah.
But I like the idea of a sort of an overall theme, cause and bringing back, it seems like, you know, last year they went the opposite direction with a lot of the scare zones of not really having a storyline. And I don't know if they got surveys back and people were like, yeah, we like when the scare zones have a storyline.
Yeah.
And they seem to have gone back in that direction this year with the scare zones really having a, well, you know, we'll see when they're, the way they're executed, whether they really have a storyline going through. I imagine Vamp 85, if it's anything like Vamp 55, will have a storyline going.
And apparently that's going to be in New York City, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We pretty much have got the locations of every scare zone now, whether it's officially or unofficially, it's pretty obvious where they're all going.
We got six more houses to go. It's shaping up to be a pretty awesome year. One that could easily contend with HHN 25. So,
yeah.
We'll see how it goes. We got, like I said, we got six more to go. So hold on. I think we're just getting started.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's it for this week, right?
That is. Yes.
Good. I don't think there was anything else that I wanted to bring up really quick. YouTube stuff. I need to get you over here to my place, and we need to get this YouTube thing figured out. I think we're good to go. We got a few things to work out. We want to test it and get that going. And yeah, so.
Yeah, it's one of many things you and I have got planned for the future here, and we're slowly getting them out as we get them done.
It's a lot.
Bear in mind that both of us have full-time jobs.
Yep. And one of us has three kids, and you know, it's just life gets in the way of these things.
But we're slowly building, adding more. You know, we're trying to really have more and more stuff up and running, and especially by the beginning of Halloween Horror Nights, really, you know, making Thrill Geek bigger, and just like the last couple of years, we, you know, especially during Halloween Horror Nights, we want to show we are the to go place to for everything about Halloween Horror Nights. So
yeah, I have to, you know, I usually don't, I don't brag, but thanks 99.9% to you, we're practically there every night for Halloween Horror Nights, just about. So,
I'm putting my life on the line
for your entertainment.
Because the last 2 years, I have gotten sick at some point.
Yeah,
I like run myself to like exhaustion. And part of it's because I love it so much.
Yeah,
because for a month and a half out of the year, you get a brand new park.
Sure.
Multiple nights, and it's amazing. It's because for those of you who don't know, I'm not the biggest horror fan.
Yeah.
There's definitely horror movies that I love, and parts of the horror genre I really like, but a lot of horror movies I think are stupid.
Yeah.
But
with that said,
I love Halloween Horror Nights. I love Halloween in general. So it's the thing I look forward to every year. So,
and as you saw on Twitter, I'm excited about the first Purge coming out on the 4th. The Purge is my guilty pleasure. I admit it.
Yeah, no, I mean, the funny thing is, I never, you know, the first Purge movie, I was sort of like, eh.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, they managed to create this universe, you know, they and it's almost become like social commentary.
Yeah.
And not just horror, and I guess we're going to get even more of that in, I believe, September when the TV show debuts. So.
Oh yeah, I forgot they're doing a TV show.
So they've really created this whole universe out of the Purge, and
all right.
Which I don't think we're getting that. I don't think we're going to get Purge anything this year at Halloween Horror Nights.
I don't think so.
I think Purge, at least in Orlando, takes a year off.
Yeah. I mean, with Stranger Things, and
I imagine next year though it'll be back because there's you know so much other Purge stuff going.
Yeah. So, what do we got coming up? We got Ant-Man this week in a few days.
Yeah, Ant-Man and the Wasp comes out. Looking forward to that. I really think they are underestimating what the opening weekend for that's going to be. At least based on like if you look at like how many shows have sold out.
Yeah.
Especially like the Dolby Cinema at Disney Springs and the IMAX at Universal, like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, there's shows sold out.
Yeah. You're seeing it at Dolby, you said, right?
Yeah, I'm seeing it Thursday night, and I think it's going to do way more than they think. Than like, I think right now they're saying 80, 85 million. I think they're way underestimating.
Yeah.
As huge as Marvel is right now.
the train that they've been on, the hype train that they've been on. And riding it between Black Panther, Infinity War, and now this.
So I'm excited. I mean, I love Infinity War, but I mean, it is the movie is sort of a downer.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to a little bit, you know, much like the first Ant-Man, I have a feeling this will be a little bit more lighthearted adventure, and it takes place after Captain America's Civil War and before Infinity War. So
I glanced at a few kind of, quote, spoiler-free reviews, which I still don't believe in, by the way. But a lot of people said this is a breath of fresh air after the insanity that was Infinity War. So
yeah,
we'll see how it goes. So and we'll also – I don't know, like you said before we recorded there's not a whole lot going on, so we'll see if we can maybe take a week off next week, use the 4th, or I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
Or we might just do a very short podcast. So.
Yeah, we'll see what we got to chew off of and kind of go from there. So, Barry, take us through all the socials.
We are at ThrillGeek on Twitter and Instagram. Facebook.com/ThrillGeek. Please like and follow our Facebook page. Why am I talking like this? YouTube.com/ThrillGeek. Please subscribe to the YouTube channel where you can see our Toy Story videos.
That's
Toy
right.
Toy Story at Night, the Slinky Dog Dash POV, which is in 4K. And Alien Swirling Saucers, a.k.a. Ask the Ride, in 4K. So
you need to do next week's episode in that voice the whole way through.
I don't think I have enough oxygen. I don't think I have enough breath control to do an entire episode like this because this takes a lot of breath.
I would imagine
to talk like this the entire time. And don't forget to visit ThrillGeek.com for the latest in theme park and pop culture news.
Are you good?
And you're listening to the Thrill Geek podcast. I've been adding that to the live stream videos, and now it's like, and subscribe, and don't forget, you can listen to us talk.
Yeah, I saw you do it on the Toy Story live stream. So cool. I think that's it. So thanks again, guys, for listening to us yak our mouths, and we'll hopefully see you guys again next week.
See ya in the parks.